I know. Academy Award winning stuff there. Acting, yeah. Academy Award winning. That's the most tepid, sickening applause I've ever gotten in the history of my life right there. Sickening. How you doing, everyone? Good to see you tonight. Very excited about the holidays coming. Very excited about Christmas this year at Southbrook. I think you're going to love Unexpected as we launch a new production this year to connect people to the message of Christ. We're very excited about what's coming up. But we're glad you're here right now because we are in the third week of a series that I'm going to explain more in depth than that incredible video there called Fungible. And we've been looking at this passage right here. Look at this passage from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I want you to just see the picture here. King David said to the whole assembly, King David, this is about 1,000 years before Jesus comes onto the earth, and God has raised up this little shepherd boy to be the king of Israel. And he gets a vision. My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. David gets a vision to build a permanent place for the Ark of the Covenant, the resting place of God. And God says, David, you have shed too much blood. You're not going to build it, but your son is going to succeed you as king, and he's going to build it. You're going to raise the money for it. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors. Now, our chapel is not going to be to this standard. I just want you to know right now. And all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. Amazing. 3,000 talents of gold, but not just gold, gold of Ophir. It was the most pure gold. 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Which, by the way, God had laid out the plan for all this. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Now, I want you to see this right here, that scholars, Old Testament scholars, estimate that David gave $14 billion to this in modern currency. Now, even Warren Buffett, to give $14 billion away is stunning. That was actually the spoils of David's reign over the world. He gave a large portion of that, $14 billion. Next verse. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, so at every level of Israel, and the officials in charge of the king's work, gave willingly. Last verse. They gave toward the work of on the temple of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver. A derrick was after Darius, the king of Persia. So that gives you insight into their world. 18,000 talents of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. This is why Solomon's temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It's right here. This is why. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jael the Gershonite. He was their chief financial officer. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Now there's so much to get in that. But the main thing to get is the big picture of this movement of people catalyzed by their leaders to say, we trust God. God's involved. We've seen him in every part of our journey. David certainly had. And we want to express our love for him. How do you know you are a follower of Christ? How do you know that you have the Spirit of Christ? Well, you say, I have the bumper stickers to prove it. I've got the born again, license plate holder. I mean, you know, all the things. I wear a cross. I don't know what you're... If you are a freely generous person to the work of God, I'm telling you, It is hard to do that with joy and fake it. It is hard to do that with joy and trying to atone for something. It is hard to do that with joy and over a long period of time and not feel like you need to be rewarded for it. I mean, it is so hard to do that. But when you're a person that you don't dread when the offering basket's passed, you don't dread when someone who has a need and it comes up, but you joyfully wonder where you're going to find the means to bless that, or if you don't already have it, I'm telling you, it is the earmark of a follower of Jesus, crazy generosity. I don't know that you're not going to go to heaven if you're a stingy old coot. That's up to God. But I'm telling you, if you're a person who is alive with generosity because your heart is so grateful, and your heart is so grateful because you're alive with generosity, because those two are tied together, I'm telling you, I'd have a hard time saying, even if you cuss a lot, that you're not a follower of Jesus, man. I mean, it is the earmark of the God who gave His one and only Son. And so this is a real easy way to find out, am I in? Am I in? After giving your heart to God, giving is easy. After giving your heart to God, giving is easy. It becomes a joy. Matter of fact, I used to, when I would get extra money, the first thought I had would be, that pitching wedge that I've wanted, I can get it now. There's nothing wrong with getting new pitching wedges. But I'll tell you this, in my journey, you know what the big change the last 10, 15 years has been? When I get extra money, how can I bless someone with what I don't need? I don't need. And I, you know, as a person that I would have died and I would have lived life without God, playing softball 8 nights a week and just build my own little kingdom, it is a huge factor and it will be in your life. And so if you dread these types of talks, you're probably not a follower of Jesus. Even though you said you were baptized naked at 8 days old, you are probably not a follower of Jesus. You may be going to heaven. You probably are. But don't call yourself a follower of Jesus, because you cannot be stingy and be a follower of Jesus. It is just impossible. It is like working in McDonald's. You know, you gotta wear the uniform. And if you have the uniform, you gotta pass out hamburgers. You know, that's just part of the job. And it is just so, so, so foundational, the picture that we see there. That the people gave willingly, not grudgingly. So we're in this series. We're in this series called Fungible. Because I discovered an interesting word last year, economically, that I had never known before. It's an economic term called fungible. Fungible means that something is exchangeable. So money is fungible. It's fungible literally in the sense that I could give you a $20 bill and you would give me a 10 and 2 fives back. It's fungible in that way. But it's fungible in that we constantly use it to trade for something that we perceive as of equal or greater value than that which we're giving, right? That money is fungible. And the reason I love this word is because when you live a life that has financial margin so that you can think in terms of how generous can I be instead of what can I get, it is F-U-N, fun. It is a fun way to live. The happiest people in this room right now are also the happiest people in the world. It's people who are so grateful for how God's blessed them. And they may not be the most wealthy people, but they're grateful and they have fun with this spiritual, the faith-building tool called money, because their fungibility allows them to see the kingdom of God grow in them. And so, one of the things we've taught in this series, and we've taught this at Southbrook throughout the years, is if you combine all the biblical teaching about money, then those of you who want, like, boil it down for me, it would be the 10-10-80 way to live, okay? The 10-10-80 way to live. And 10-10-80, there it is. And this is the first 10% you give to God. You give to God. I'm going to talk about this more. This is crazy. Is that like if there is no God, that feels really crazy. There's a really good chance there is a God, and that's not crazy. But even, look at this, Studies show that even people who have no faith but give at least 10% of their income to charity are happier people. I mean, it's just like God knows what makes us happy. And I'm going to talk about that next week, because if you're in the American way of, really, I learned even new stats this week that America goes about 1.5 and 1.5, and then about 130 is how we live in America. And you're like, that doesn't add up. But if you're there, you're like, you know, I can run 15 feet without getting winded, and you're asking me to run 100 feet without getting winded. Are you crazy? I'm going to talk about that next week, how you grow into that, because I will tell you that I can tell you how you are going to be 5 years from now based on whether this number is going down and these numbers are going up, because now research shows a direct correlation between the ability to delay gratification that these numbers represent and that this number going down represents. And so the people who have that pattern in their life, they're just having more fun. And when I saw that word fungible, oh man, we're going to have some fun with fungible, because over and over again, this is the pattern scripturally, this picture of living with at least 20% of your income that is utterly exchangeable. Like you know, this tends to get pretty fixed, doesn't it? Even though we try to decrease our living expenses, that tends to get pretty fixed. That's not as fungible as many of us like it to be. But when we create that margin, and by the way, Dave Ramsey says, if you can't live on 90%, you can't live on 100% anyway. It's true. He's spot on with that. You ever tried that? It's crazy, but there's no difference. So, we've been in this series, and today's topic is about what's the funging that happens before the funging, okay? What really happens to those people who at this church, whoops, there it is. Give me a blank screen, guys. What happens to the people at this church who have done this? Because we have a lot of you are living this way. You ought to hear the comfort and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit through this series, because so many of you are doing this, because we learned this year that 45% of our church gives $200 or less a year. So that means 55% of you are doing it, man. You are doing it. You are funging for the sake of people you won't meet until heaven, probably. A lot of people you won't meet until heaven. There's something that took place in the hearts of the people who have done it here. And so there's this line of they start tithing to the church. And again, I'm going to talk about this next week. They start doing that. What's the line that gets crossed before that can happen? Because this is financial funging. There's a different kind of fungible that takes place, an exchange that takes place before that. And there are people in this room who have been a part of this church since 1992, since 2002 and on, and they've done it. I mean, they are poorer people, very possibly, because they've been a part of this church for 25 years. Literally, thousands and thousands of dollars. Many of you, what took place? You see it in that story with David. And that is, the people saw their leaders and they put their trust in their leaders. They saw what their leaders were doing. And so once they saw their leaders had made that step, the people could follow in that. And the first thing that has to happen, and some of you aren't there yet, and it's okay, is this is the real first fungible exchange that takes place. What is it, gang? Trust. The reason that I picked that story is because it reflects what has to be there for the people in any faith community to get fungible with their church and with God. There has to be a level of trust. Now, I want to speak to that, because one of the reasons that I wanted to be at one place for my whole life was because I wanted to experience the richness of a relationship built a long time. I wanted to experience the richness of the credibility of trust. You know, that all leadership is spending coin. You're constantly in leadership. Every decision you make, you're spending credibility coin. You know, leadership is the art of disappointing people at a rate they can handle. You know that, right? Think about that. It is. And so leadership is you're constantly spending coin, and then if it's a good decision, people put coin back into your leadership account. You make a dumb decision, your account drains. Right? That's just the way it is. It's a constant fungible reality going on. And before you can move to getting financially fungible with your church, if it's not Southbrook, a lot of you come here from other churches on Saturdays, so if it's your church, then this has to take place. So what I wanted to do tonight is just answer your question. So I just want you to stand up. No, I'm not going to let you do that to me. No way. I am going to answer 5 or 6 common questions, okay? These are just some of the most common questions I get or Saul gets or Mike gets out at the information counter. They're not all the questions. I'm actually going to do some more next weekend. But these are just some that are pertinent right now. And so you walk out of here tonight, and all we will have achieved is you move closer to that first fungible line that is invisible. Is this making sense to you? It has to happen. It has to happen. Now, some of you have trust issues. I can't help you. I got a number of good psychologists. I got Christian counselors. We got about 40 of them around here. We'll help you because some of it's just on you, friend. This is not my issue. This is on you. What we have to make sure we do is the best we can to communicate what we're doing and our intent. So let's just go through these questions, all right? Number one. When is the chapel and day one expansion going to be completed? I answered that. 2025, it should be done by then. It feels that way, doesn't it? I mean, it feels that way. When we started this campaign, from when we expected to complete it, we're 1.5 years behind. And part of the reason for that is because I'm at the age I'm at, because where we are as a church, we felt it was important that as we create this tool, that we didn't add more debt to our church. As a matter of fact, in the next 9 years, I want us to get completely out of debt, as I said 2 weeks ago, so that whoever follows me will have a fungible reality to bless the world with. And because I can't handle debt. Any of you that way? I cannot handle debt. I emotionally cannot handle the shame that I feel with debt. So I've never been able to really handle the church's debt well, and that's why when Sharon and I have ever gotten into debt, it freakazoids me out. It does. Any of you that way? I just freak out over it. I feel, you know, it's my deal. It's my junk. But part of the reason for that, too, is you have entrusted us with your money. You've entrusted us, so we want to be great stewards of that. Do you know why there's no glass up yet in the atrium? It's because we're going to save about $200,000 on that we wouldn't have because we waited a little longer. Now, I want it done yesterday. You don't want me to lead these kind of projects. When I led our first building project in 1994, and I didn't wait for the occupation permit to be handed down. I just said, we're moving in. Now, I hope there's a statute of limitations on violating that law or something, because... you know, I just said, we can't do that now, right? We can't do that now. We shouldn't have done it then. But we could have finished the chapel by now if we wanted to go into debt. It'd have been done months and months ago. Months and months ago. But we believe God wants the entirety of day one to be completed with frugality, with quality. And it's our responsibility to execute the entrusting of your management, your stewardship of God's money to us. Now, as you saw in that unbelievable slow jam of the offering, like I expect a record offering as a result of that tonight. We this project was $9 million when a certain company in Dayton that I will not mention that we had to break out of a contract with legally above board because that was crazy that it was going to cost us that much. And we got it down to 7.1. But I want you to hear this. Listen to this. Not only did we save $2 million and change, we were also able to add the following. Southbrook kids' rooms and security, additional bog space for feeding Dayton, media offices, 2 offices added in the main office space, 2 offices added in counseling space, a brand new roof on the existing structure, a cancer hope room, new offices in the southeast hallway, two new restrooms for the chapel area. Do we need more restrooms around here? I think so. A new wedding planning, funeral planning meeting room adjacent to the new atrium. A new epic theater experience for the students connected to the cafe. A new bride room. A new bridal room. I think it's spiffied up. A new special needs room for children. Is that awesome or what, friends? Just go up to a parent who has a special needs child at our church and they've been experiencing this the last few weeks and you watch their eyes water. We were able to do that because we waited a little longer. A new water heater provided. Repairs to the existing plumbing, HVAC and security. Risers built for the Southbrook Kids Room. Signage and graphics for the existing atrium, which we need for guests. Security doors added for all children's hallways. Video and audio integrated to all worship areas, including the new chapel. The coffee area in the main atrium will be redone. The painting and graphics added throughout the existing building. And that's not all of the items added to day one as of Thursday when I got this. And we were able to do this because we said, Monty, lead the way. Is that awesome or what, friends? And I don't know about you. I want things done yesterday. And this was a good thing. This was a good thing. If you've ever built a house, it was done early, right? Have you ever had a house done early? No? I mean, it's never done on time. But you get in, and it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. And we're just working hard to get this done ASAP. We want to, for those of you planning weddings next year, we want to help you. For those of you planning funerals next year, we want, we want to help you. But the fact is, our project leaders are killing it. You are killing it. And most importantly, God is killing it when it comes to this project. And it's going to be a huge deal for this kind of church to be able to get in there debt-free if we stay on pace. So stay with us. Stay with us. Are you with me on this? Stay with us. We all want it done yesterday. It's going to get done. And then I'm going to die. Okay, I'm going to die after that because these building projects will kill you. All right, number two. Why does Southbrook employ so many staff members? I don't know how many we have, like 40-something I think we have. While it may seem that we have a lot of people employed at Southbrook, we actually are, again, about 70% the size of churches our size when it comes to paid staff. We make every effort to use metrics across the country. We're getting our staff up to average pay. I just reached average pay for my position this year, I think. I got a little pay increase, and so I'm average. Boy, is that true. I'm average for people in a church like ours in my position, and we want you to know nobody's getting rich off this whole deal. It's a weird thing. We know this. I can't wait till the day comes when I can serve and I'm not paid by the church anymore, but I have to make a living. I have, provide for my family, but I can get my income somewhere else because I know it gets funky, doesn't it? It gets real funky that I'm asking for money and my paycheck comes from this. And I know it gets funky. The scriptures give us precedent for this and permission and precepts regarding this. So biblically we're good, but I know it's still funky, not fungible, right? Sometimes it's funky. I had one time a person come up to me and just give it to me for not living in a big enough house. You don't represent this church well because your house isn't big enough. At the time, we lived in a Huber home. And I wish I still lived there because I still wish I had that house. No, I take that back. I wouldn't have a house payment. It'd be off by now if we'd have stayed there. But I remember he's like, you don't represent this church well. You need to show a better image. And I was like, well, that's not one I expected to get. Because I remember one time someone coming up and saying, hey, we're leaving the church because we saw your white Mercedes-Benz sedan parked in your driveway. I said, what? Yeah, we see that white Mercedes-Benz parked in your driveway. Any preacher that drives a Mercedes-Benz, we're not going to the church for a preacher that drives a Mercedes-Benz. I said, well, first of all, I drive a white four-door Honda Accord. It's got 140,000 miles on it. And secondly, my sister-in-law, who lives in northern Cincinnati, is at our house frequently, and she drives a white four-door Mercedes-Benz, or she used to drive it up to our house. She's not going to anymore. And so I just want you to know, I've gotten it from both angles. You don't dress sharply enough. You know, you don't, your hair's not right. I mean, it's just amazing what people pick at. And, or, you know, I'm not going to any church where a preacher wastes money on golf. I'm just not doing it. So, I mean, I know. It gets funky, doesn't it? It really does. Now, we around here are real intent on creating a place that our staff acts as catalyzers and reformers and recruiters and pastor mentors and teachers. Look at this from the scriptures. Christ himself gave the apostles, the catalyzers, the prophets, the reformers, the evangelists, the recruiters, the pastors, and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we always unite the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. While you see sometimes staff, what you don't see often is this. For just the weekend teams, which is safety, traffic, guest services, the info center, worship arts, technical arts, children's students ministries, we have 11 full-time and 5 part-time staff. But the amount of volunteers it takes to execute those responsibilities of those ministries is 311 volunteers. So we have a ratio of 20 volunteers, not people. Okay, this is not people. This is 20 volunteers for every one staff person. Our overall compensation is right on average. It's the same as what it was when I came here in 92. We have about a 48.6% salary added with 11.1% health insurance benefits. And that's about 59.7% that goes toward that first part of the Ephesians 4:11 equation. So in other words, we spend money to equip people to serve. And that's why I think we have hundreds of volunteers. We couldn't pay what it costs to run this place, could we? I mean, we couldn't. Can you imagine? We couldn't pay that. But we can pay is people who know how to help people put their lives into play. And so we hope that helps you there. Third question, why does Southbrook support so many foreign missions when the needs in Dayton are so great? Isn't there enough problem here? Yes, there is. But Jesus put it this way, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And they took that seriously. The early church put the go in gospel. And so that's a huge part of us. As a matter of fact, why I say that we spend 60% of our income on staff to train, 100% of our income is really go. It really is. 100% of it is the go of gospel. Because our job is to turn atheists into missionaries. If you came here as an agnostic, we want you to leave here eventually someday as a goer. As a goer. And your mission may be Dayton. But like Claire Brown is in Swaziland. And like Sammy Matthews is in Mexico. And like Rafał Pekarski is in Poland. And so many. There are missionaries outside of Dayton. And we're commanded to do that. And the early church took this seriously. And so we joyfully do that while at the same time really impacting Dayton as best we can right now. I'm excited about what we're going to be doing to bless Dayton through BOG, to bless Dayton through, you know, how our church is helping clothe and feed and give the needs of basic humanity to people is just tremendous. Here's another question. I hope that answers your question there. Why do we have so many flat screen TVs and big screens around our building? Why we need to be so high tech? Well, as many of you know, we're actually not that high tech. The screens we get at wholesale. And for example, it bugs me to no end because excellence is one of my high values as a person that our cameras are 17 years old. Like, we have cameras that were given to us secondhand by ESPN2 or something that we pay. I mean, it's like we're actually not as high tech as we look. We are faking it really well. And write it in your will. When I die, give Southbrook new cameras with my, you know, with my, oh, bless you in heaven, my friend, if you do that. But why do we have, the other question that comes with this, why do we have lights? Like, how do we really need lights? Well, let me answer the first question. We have 7 or 8 flat screens around this area of the building that simply are there to help connect people in communication. You cannot believe how uncomfortable it is for people who have been out of church a long time to come into this room. But the fact that they have options, they can sit out there, or they can take the step to Mashon Ryan into the small theater. I'm telling you, friends, it's a big deal. If you've been in church all your life for a long time, you either forgotten that or you never knew how big a deal it is for someone to be able to come here and just step in the 2 foot into the pool without diving into the deep end. I mean, they don't know if we're handling snakes in here, okay? They don't know that. They're not sure what's going on in here. If we're going to be, you know, a bunch of Jesus freaks in here that's just spooking people out of their minds. People don't know that. And, I mean, aside from that, most people come loaded in here with guilt and shame. And, I mean, golly, it is, the game has, you know, I could say the game has changed in the 30 years I've been doing this. The game has changed in the last 5. I'm telling you, friends, it's game on right now with the problems that walk through those doors every weekend. And this is big. Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You know why we have flat screens? It's so that we can find every way possible to connect the message of Jesus to people. Right? Every way possible. Most of you, when I'm up here, like right now, you're not even looking at me for God. You're looking over there. You're looking over there. I mean, it's a weird feeling when you're talking to someone. And they're like, do it out in the atrium after we're done. They're talking to you, and you're just looking over here. Okay? It's a weird feeling. But if that helps you listen better, some of you need that help. You know, some of you need that help. Yeah. Now, why do we have lights? This is my favorite part. It's because this really, lights are our just contemporary iteration of stained glass. Who created the beauty of color? Who made up color? God did. You're in church. That's a hint. Okay? God did. God. Always answer Jesus. Whenever you ask a question in church, just say Jesus. You'll probably be right. God did. And listen to me. These lights are unbelievably cheaper than stained glass. Okay? I mean, they're more portable. They're more diverse. They are simply our stained glass. It is my favorite part that I just love the color. And I know some of you get really annoyed by it. But you just need to get less grumpy. All right, just get on the other side of the bed. Just do that. Because some of you are my friends, and you're just old farts that are getting grumpy as you get older. But that's why. Okay, here's the big question I get. Why does Southbrook provide a private jet for the lead catalyzer to go to OSU games? I'm kidding there, okay? That did not get the laughter I expected it would get. Do some of you actually think that that's going on? It's a good idea, by the way. It's a good idea. But what this one represents is this. Here's what this represents. What, you know, I would probably stop going to the church that was providing a jet for their leader to go to football games. Okay, I'm going to give you that one. Okay, I'm going to give you that one. Or maybe not. I'm not sure. But I don't think so. There will always be something you disagree with how we spend our money. I do. I've been dealing with it for 25 years. I don't like how we spend all of our money. Do you want me in control of this thing? You don't. You do not want me in control of this thing. There will always be things you they spend money on that. At some point, some way, you have to put fungible credibility coin into our account. Or you need to find a place where you can do that. Because if you don't ever do that, there aren't enough questions I can answer. There aren't. I could stand up here all week long answering questions to the best of my ability. And there just comes that day when you just got to say, that first fungible action, I found my place where I'm making that. Because you know what? You may not like the music. You may not like the lights. You may not like the preaching. But if you love the mission, this is for you. If you love it that there's a place that if you have a D-church friend and there's a place you know that some would rather live within the sound of church and chapel bell, but we would rather run a rescue shop within a yard of people's hell. If that's your kind of place, it was the kind of place where a preacher says fart in an actual service, then this is the place for you. You don't have to like all the music and all the money and all the magnificence. What you just have to love is the mission. Because until you invest and invite, this church will never make sense to you. It'll never make sense to you. Until you invest and invite, invest and invite, invest and invite. And then all of a sudden, when that one gal or that one guy comes, where they go, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me about this a long time ago? Why didn't you love me enough to tell me about this a long time ago? Then you don't know how big this is. For some people, not everyone, but for some people. And so that's why we want you to live fungibly, right? Fungibly. So here's the last question. What is the payoff for living eternally fungible? I'm going to leave you with this, okay? This is the most important question. What is the payoff? Because you know what? The Bible is not afraid of the payoff question. Do you know that? When it comes to living a life of eternal fungibility, I see my whole 100% as God's, but I give at least 10% back to Him as an expression that He is in charge, not me, that my trust is in Him. What is the payoff for that? Well, the Bible doesn't mind you asking that question. And it's said in so many different ways. I think, as usual, Jesus said it best. Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present day." Now, I left 4 sisters and 1 mother and father. And I literally got to live this out. I have hundreds of sisters and hundreds of brothers and a bunch of mothers and fathers. I'm not kidding you. Like, I literally experienced this. I left home to do this. You understand why I'm excited about this and why I have no problem talking about this? Is I've got to live this reality. Fail to receive 100 times as much. That's a 10,000% return he's using as an example. In this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, brothers, children, fields, along with persecutions. It's not going to always be seashells and balloons, friends. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last, first, like some of you are, you look stupid to your family that you're doing this. But don't mistake what someone looks like on this planet, because they may have been very fungible with what they're going to be in eternity. Don't mistake that. That's the payoff. That's the payoff. It's nothing that you say, "This is yours, Jesus. I give to this needy person. I give to your church for you. It's my love action." There's nothing that you will not fail to receive back. You only lose what you keep. That's amazing. So a couple weeks ago, do you guys remember a couple weeks ago when I stood up here and I held a $20 bill? Do you remember that? I think I did that, didn't I? Wasn't that here? I held a $20 bill. I said, "It's fungible." And I knew I had to have a $20 bill, but I'd forgotten it. So I leaned over to a friend of mine who was standing over here, and I said, hey, I know you carry a bunch of cash. I never carry money. Do you have a 20? He said, "Well, sure." He gave me a 20. And so I used it. I didn't give it back to him. He texts me this week, and he goes, "You know that $20 bill that I gave you in church a couple of weeks ago?" He goes, That week, I went to and played in a golf tournament at Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles, and I won the golf tournament with a couple of friends, and we won each $2,000. He said, "I don't know what's going on here. This guy is crazy generous." See, I just wanted you to know that. And that's kind of funny. You know, it is, isn't it? It's kind of funny, you know, that happened. But I'm telling you, I'll come back next week, because you want to see how crazy funging is. Is there are dozens of people in this room who will tell you stories just like that. That there have been 1 or 2 or 3 times in their life when they funged to God, and then, what? And you start seeing there's something going on here. There's something going on here. It's laid up for you in heaven. There's an old story about an old, crusty, grumpy business tycoon. Probably didn't like lights in, you know, either in church, but crusty, grumpy guy who was dying, he was on his deathbed. Again, some of my dearest friends are in that category, but he was dying, and on his deathbed, he said to his wife, "Honey, what do I want you to do? I want you to liquidate all my assets. I want you to turn it into cash. I want you to put it in this big old gunny sack, and you take it, and you tie it up in the attic because I want to take it with me. So when I go to heaven, I want to be able to grab that gunny sack on the way up. I want to take it with me to heaven. And a few weeks later, he died. After he died, she goes up to the attic to see if the money's gone. Sure enough, the money's still there. She says, "I old coot, I knew I should have put it in the basement." What Jesus is saying here, now don't any of you get ideas, is listen. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That you can make your life eternally fungible. The way the Apostle Paul put this is, you are laying up a sure foundation for the coming age that will never go away. Jesus said, you are storing up treasure in heaven. Because God turns that money into His treasure. And that's kids and men and women. That's the treasure. The treasure is all the people you'll meet in heaven who came to know Christ because of you. Because of you. I don't know. I'm not going to give you a better motive than that one. Right there. Amen? I mean, that's it. That's all I got. As my friend Forrest said, that's all I have to say about that. Let's pray. Okay? That's all I have to say about that. Lord, thank you for this amazing dynamic of your economy. And as we go into the final week of this series, but more importantly, as we go into Thanksgiving, you know, it's so easy to be rich and not live like it, feel like it, or give like it. Because we think rich is always the person that we know who has more extra than we have now. And so many of us have rich people problems and we don't give. We have bad cell phone coverage and our flight was late and our cable is out and our chapel is not done at our church. These are rich person problems. But we can live like we're rich if we'll just be fungible like you ask us to be. And in doing so, we experience a richness to life. Thank you. Thank you. You showed us the way. Thank you for stories. Because that's all I have to say, because my voice has no more. Everyone said, amen. We'll see you next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving.